to Live 95's broadcast of Coleman County and statewide and national election returns here from the Coleman Court, Coleman County Courthouse. We're on the third, and I'm here joined, and we're coming on the air probably a little bit early to talk about some of the election returns. Most of the boxes are not in yet, but Tommy, I will tell you, this to me doesn't seem like an overly difficult election. There were not a whole lot of Democrats on the ballot today.
No, most of the local elections were unopposed. And in fact, speaking of unopposed elections, the primary was kind of a battle for Coleman County Commissioner in the place number two for Gary Marchman. But the election today, Gary, was kind of unopposed and kind of gives you a chance to relax a little bit. First of all, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Hey, I just want to thank all the Democrats that decided not to run. It saved us a lot of money. Yes. Yeah.
Well, in deciding to run for public office, there's got to be a lot of thought process that goes into it. One, what's it going to do to you? What's it going to do to your family? And
You,
I know you took those into account.
I did, but this was all new to me. So when I decided to run, I talked to people that had been in the business for a while or had been in the business before, and they gave me ideas about how things would be, but you never know until you do it. So it's a stressful situation, you know, and something that I wasn't accustomed to. But anyway, it worked out well.
I know you've got plans for the county. Give us a little insight of your plans for the county.
You know, I want to take Carrie and I have kind of adopted a slogan for Coleman County, and that's moving forward. You know, I don't have anything against any of the commissioners in the past or anything, but I don't think we took initiatives to move Coleman in the right direction. And what I mean by that is it starts at the lowest level and goes all the way up. We've got to get the people of Coleman, the employees of Coleman, to having a different philosophy about our county government. You know, I want them to say that we can depend on our county government. And I guess if I had one specific thing, that would be it.
Right. As far as projects across the county, there are the Duck River project well underway,
right.
the 222 exit, which is a huge thing coming into the county. Talk a little bit about those two projects.
You know, the Duck River, it's important for Coleman to have another water source, and I know that, but I think we're going to encounter a little more expense than we originally intended on. And when I say we, I mean the people that went into the Duck River deal to begin with. I didn't think they were planning on spending so much money to do it, you know. So it's going to be an expensive project for Coleman, for the people of Coleman. So I really wasn't involved in that, so there's not a lot I can do to – all I can do is the best I can to keep our water rates as low as we can, you know. And that's going to be – one way is going to be to improve efficiency. Now, the 222 interchange coming, man, it's just a blessing for Coleman. I mean, it's going to help Coleman. It's going to help our revenue. It's going to help the folks. It's going to help our lake, you know, and it's going to help the people that are out there on that where that 222 interchange is going to be. And we're going to grow. Right. Coleman's going to grow.
I was talking to Maxine, one of the poll workers in the hall a few moments ago, and she was talking about the public's coming to the city of Coleman and some of the growth with the Bass Hall of Fame. And she said, you know, Coleman is growing. And I said, yeah, I said, we're growing. I said, but the one thing we've got to do, we've got to keep our hometown feel.
Yes.
We've got to keep it to where when folks come to visit us, we treat them like we want to be treated.
That's
so they'll
right.
come back.
And you know, you're exactly right. It's, you know, we want to keep our core values here in Coleman. I think, you know, I've been around the world, and I really have. I served most of my adult life in the military. And when I say that, that's in a literal sense because I have been. And I've been to some countries that I can't even remember the name of. But this is where I was born at, and I knew this is where I wanted to come back to. This town is just unique in its own very special way. A great place to raise kids, a good place to start a business. There's so many things that's available here in Coleman for anyone. you know. So, but I want us to stay with the small town feel, with the small town culture.
You guys make some very good points. We've got a lot of real good things going on in the county, and I've got to give credit to the economic developers as well as the government. You mentioned the new interchange coming on 222. We've got the Walmart basically doubling a building on the north end of town. Shopping coming in. I mean, more jobs in this county than I think most of the state, you know, are coming this way, and we owe it to y'all. Been doing a great job, and I think it reflects on this election because just so many of you have run unopposed. So it did not take me long to fill out my ballot today.
Well, thank you.
It was very quick.
I hope I got you voted.
You did.
Well, Gary, thank you for taking time to visit with us. I know there's folks here that you want to go see. Thank you. Congratulations. And, too, with Veterans Day coming up next week, thank you for your service.
Hey, thank you for taking time with me. I appreciate it.
Tommy, I'm trying to keep an eye on the national picture here, and it looks to me like we're having quite a few races already called. We're looking at you and I were actually joking about this before we went on the air. They've already called Robert Bentley as a governor to be reelected. That took him, what, 10 seconds after the polls?
It looked like the Associated Press took maybe 2 to 3 to 5 minutes to call that race.
Yeah, but I'm always quite amused when I look at, you know, some of the national websites like Fox News and CNN and some of those. I know that they have already called quite a few of those races, and a few of them that have come up already. I know they've called West Virginia, which that was kind of interesting. That place has been Democrat for so long, and now apparently it has changed sides and is going the direction of the Republicans, so that's a good thing.
In some other races that were not directly in Cullman County but outside of Cullman County, it looks like that Hartzell has elected to stay dry by only about 231 votes. I think they were 47.7% yes to 52.7% no, so the city of Hartzell will remain dry. And still in Cullman County, there are no boxes officially reported in, and as soon as those do become in, we'll start giving you updates on local races here within Cullman County.
Yeah, I think they're going to be hand-delivering them to us. I was kind of prepared to bring them up on the website, thinking technology, you know, helps this whole process. I know you can go to the Cullman County website, www.co.cullman.al.us, and the election results. Probably minutes.
And I don't think he has officially conceded yet, but Parker Griffith has commented that he wanted someone in the race to show the country that Alabama could be a progressive state. I don't know if he's actually conceded yet, but he may be a lot sooner than he thought he may be.
We're kind of getting organized here, trying to figure out how to bring all of the results to you, working off of a couple of, for lack of a better term, church pews here. We are fitting in rather well, I think. So,
well, there were some amendments, Jay, on the ballot today that a lot of folks do not vote on amendments, or because they don't know one way or the other. But there were five amendments on the ballot today. We'll try to work through those with you tonight, just to say if it passes, here's kind of a look at what would happen, and if it does not pass, here's a look.
Right, and I really wish I had that information, and I'll go ahead and plug our new public affairs show. You know, we started This Week Live this week. And had I had some of that information, we definitely would have reviewed it yesterday. It's kind of after the fact now. Most of the listeners obviously have already voted. And if you haven't, you're probably a Democrat, so you need to vote tomorrow.
I'd like to thank the Fair Ballot Commission for getting us the basically the terms of the amendments. And looking at Amendment 1, based on the plain language definition from the Fair Ballot Commission, if Amendment 1 is passed, Alabama will have a place in a constitutional provision that says Alabama citizens will not be subject to foreign law if application of foreign law would violate Alabama law or result in a violation of their rights. And on the flip side, if Amendment 1 is defeated, courts and legal authorities may choose to refuse to apply foreign law if the foreign law would result in a violation of Alabama law or if it would deprive a citizen of his or her rights, even though there's no statute or constitutional amendment requiring the court or the legal authority to do that.
How do you read that? I mean, you and I are not attorneys, but I wonder if that has to do with, you know, we had an issue with a lot of illegal immigration here a few years ago, and most of that, of course, was cleared up, sort of forcibly, shall we say. Not too many immigrants here, but is that kind of how you would read that?
In my best uneducated opinion in the amendment, basically, if Amendment 1 passes, then the courts would have no choice, but they would not be able to apply foreign law in Alabama, period, if it passes. Now, if it does not pass, the court would have a choice of applying foreign law, only to the extent that it did not deprive a citizen of his or her rights, or if it did not violate any Alabama law.
That makes sense. So Amendment 2, if Amendment 2 is passed, the state is allowed to borrow up to an additional $50 million in bonds to be repaid for maintenance of Alabama National Guard armories. I probably would be in favor of this amendment, but I find it kind of interesting. It seems like several of the last few elections, we've always had some on there about the Alabama General Trust Fund, what it can be used for, what it can be used for. Let's refine this. Let's refine that. And my thinking on that, not to tell any of our listeners how to know, the amendment is on the ballot for a reason. Someone feels like it needs to be changed. In most cases, they know what they're talking about when they propose it. But, you know, it's definitely up to us to either enact it or, you know, not enact it as, you know, constituents and voters of the state of Alabama. If that is defeated, the state will not be authorized to borrow up to an additional $50 million in bonds for construction and maintenance of Alabama National Guard armories. The overall cost of Amendment 2, it says, is not known at this time. I'm reading off the piece of paper because the line above that says an additional $50 million in bonds. So I guess I don't understand where that's coming from, but it will have no direct impact on taxes, but it would redirect the distribution of income from the Alabama Trust Fund. I was just talking about that a minute ago. You don't have an election in the state without the trust fund coming up, right? The estimated cost to the Alabama Tobacco and Firearms people of repaying $50 million in bonds that could be easily issued under this amendment would be about $3.7 million annually for 20 years. And that could reduce interest income to the state general fund and local governments. So this was provided again by the Fair Ballot Commission in Alabama. You can go to www.legislature.state.al.us for more information.
And a couple of statewide results coming in now with three.
Your phone must be working better than my laptop. I'm still fighting that.
with three of 2,469 precincts reporting in the race for Attorney General, Joe Hubbert, 435 votes, Luther Strange, 810. And also just in, Parker Griffith has spoken with the media at his campaign headquarters, and his staff is working to gather Governor Bentley's phone number now as we speak. So, and again, here still locally in Coleman County, there are zero of 51 precincts reporting. As soon as those boxes make their way into the third floor courtroom here, we'll start giving you local results here in Coleman County.
Yeah, I'll go over real quick. I've got a sample ballot just to point out if for some reason someone did not make it to the ballot box today. There was a Democratic contender to Robert Bentley, Parker Griffith, who basically within 30 seconds after the polls closed at 7 o'clock, they had already called the race for Robert Bentley. But we do have for Lieutenant Governor our own local James C. Fields Jr. running as a Democrat. What have we here? You update that.
And with, again, with three of 2,469 precincts reporting in the lieutenant governor's race, Kay Ivey, 872 votes, James Fields, 353, basically 71% to 29%, again, with three of 2,469 precincts reporting.
Some other races that were unopposed. Jeff Sessions, our United States Senator, ran unopposed. The 4th Congressional District, our own Robert Adderholt, again, ran unopposed. For Attorney General, we did have an opposition there. Luther Strange is the Republican candidate. Joe Hubbert, the Democratic candidate. And in District 4, we have our own Paul Bussman as the Republican candidate. The Democratic candidate there was Angelo Doc Manusco. For the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, we had Greg Shaw running unopposed. Again, the Republican there. For the Court of Civil Appeals Judge, Place 1, we had William C. Thompson running unopposed as a Republican. For Court of Civil Appeals, number 2, we have Scott Donaldson running unopposed as a Republican. Court of Criminal Appeals Judge, place number 1, I have such a hard time with that word, Mary Windham, the Republican running, again, unopposed. And for Court of Criminal Appeals Justice, place number 2, Beth Kellum running unopposed, the Republican candidate as well. So quite a trend going on. There are very, very few Republicans in this state have any opposition from the Democratic side this time around. For Secretary of State, we have Lula, Albert Kanger, maybe, as a Democratic, running against John Merrill as a Republican. Never claimed to be a professional here, just doing what we can. Young Boozer, heard that name many times on ads, running unopposed this time around as a Republican. State Auditor, we have Jim Ziegler running against Miranda Joseph, Jim being the Republican, Miranda being the Democrat. Commissioner of Agriculture and Industry, we have John McMillan running as a Republican, Doug Smith as a Democrat. And our own Jeremy Oden for Public Service Commission, place number one. He is running as a Republican, unopposed. There is no Democrat running against him. For Public Service Commission, place number two, we had Chris Beaker running as a Republican, unopposed. No Democrat running against him. And for a member of State Board of Education, district number eight, we have Cynthia McCarty running as a Republican, and there is no Democrat running against her. So quite a trend going on here. A lot of Republicans running unopposed, and Tommy and I are thinking this night is going to go very quickly because of that. Of course, that is not the case as of yet. Coleman County is still reporting no boxes. We are broadcasting live from the third floor of the Coleman County Courthouse. For Coleman County Coroner, we have Gary Murphy, the Democrat, running against Jeremy Kilpatrick, the Republican. Coleman County Commission place number one, Kerry Watson, the Republican, running unopposed. Coleman County Commission place two, Gary Marchman, running unopposed. He is the Republican. Coleman County Revenue Commissioner, Barry Willingham, running unopposed, the Republican. Coleman County Sheriff, Matt Gentry, running unopposed. And then you have those various statewide amendments that we went over just a few minutes ago, trying to cover what those will or will not do. And that's where we stand right now. Still no boxes in. We are reporting to you live from the Coleman County Courthouse on the third floor. We are in the large courtroom building. And Tommy, unless you've got something to add, I think we'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back, and hopefully they'll have at least a box in by that point.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
When we come back, we'll actually Well, before we take a break, I want to take a moment and speak with Coleman County Commissioner in Place 1.
Okay.
Kerry Watson joins us. Kerry, Tommy Warhurst.
Hey, good deal.
Jay Fuller.
Hi, how you doing?
This is the Coleman County Commissioner for Place 1, Kerry Watson. And first, Kerry, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I know the it seems like the primary back in June was a battle, and this was just kind of the rest period.
That's true. That's true.
The celebration, so to speak. So
that's true.
We've talked a lot about the growth here in Coleman County. We're fortunate that our city and our county is growing, and the one thing we want to maintain is our personal appeal to those that come to visit the county. Talk about your vision and your plans for Coleman County.
My vision is for us to keep growing in the way we are and stay family friendly, and because I want us to grow, but I want us to have work that we can have here, have our young people stay and work here where we can where they don't move off, but they can stay here and grow up and spend their lives like I've been here most of my life.
Right.
And that's what I want us to be able to do, because I've got a daughter that's 24, and I'd love for her to be able to raise her family here and them grow up.
Right. And, we're continuing to add different jobs, different industries. The new steel plant is coming to South Bonmot soon, and things like that will continue to add to what you're talking about and be able to let folks continue to stay here in Coleman County.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's stuff like when it, and you know, that's somebody local too that's opening it and going to be running it. And I like that. I like local people to be able to, you know, grow, because that just shows the people, hey, if you go to Coleman, they'll work with you and you can grow.
Right.
So I like that.
As far as your constituents in Place 1 in your district, or actually, I guess for the whole county, so to speak, too, what can we do to help you with your job?
Be understanding for one thing, because you know
you can't do it overnight.
You know, that's what I told everybody. I said, you know, I wish I had a magic wand where I could just go in and wave it and everything would be good. But just realize that, and I know Gary too. We're going to be, and Kenneth also, Chairman Walker. We're going to all be working for the good of the people of this county, because all of us talking, that's what we've all. Every time we get together and talk or something, it's always been what's best for this county, and that's what we're going to be doing, is what's best for the whole county.
Right. Kind of a team approach rather than an individual agenda.
Yes, that's the way you got to do it if you're going to accomplish anything.
Yeah, very
good. I'm all about team.
Yep. Well, Kerry, again, congratulations. Right. I know there's a lot of folks that you want to see. Thank you for coming by, and congratulations.
All right, thank you.
Best of luck. Coleman County Commissioner in Place 1, Kerry Watson, stopping by to join us. We're on the third floor of the courthouse in the main courtroom for Election Live here on Coleman's Live 95. Again, there are no boxes out of the 51 from Coleman County reporting, and as soon as they do, we'll start giving those to you locally here on our Election Live coverage.
Got transmission troubles? Then you need Joe Coretti Auto Service, a locally owned and operated family business founded in 1976. Joe and Jason Coretti are your automatic transmission specialists. If you need transmission diagnostics, service, or repair, we can be reached at 256-739-2940. That's Joe Coretti Auto Service, your automatic transmission specialist, located on Golf Course Road, 256-739-2940.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
Stars and Stripes Forever, kind of our our theme music for the evening. And Coleman County, we thought this would go a lot quicker because there are so many unopposed candidates. The I guess the Democrats not feel like this was a very good year to run. Kind of a repeat of, I think, how the Republicans felt back in 2008. But here are some results statewide. We'll go ahead and bring you up to date on these. Some of these races have, we'll say, unofficially been called by the Associated Press. Of course, the official results far on down the line. Governor Robert Bentley is going to continue to be our governor, 69% of the vote. Parker Griffith got 31% of the vote. Lieutenant Governor has not been called yet, but Kay Ivey right now, 70% of the vote. James Fields, 30% of the vote. Attorney General Luther Strange looking at 64% of the vote. Joe Hubbard at 36% of the vote. Secretary of State General looking at John Merrill at 70% of the vote. And Lula Albert-Kieger at 30% of the vote. Auditor General Jim Ziegler at 70% of the vote. Miranda Joseph at 30% of the vote. And I should probably go back and tell you how many of these precincts are reporting because we have that information too. But I don't agree with the number. So we'll just keep reading what we have here. Agricultural Commissioner General, we've got John McMillan at 72%, Doug Smith at 28%. Coming on down the list, U.S. House District 1, this is the southwest corner of the state, Mobile. The Burton LaFleur, forgive me if I mispronounce some of these names, never claimed to be a professional, 55% of the vote there against the Republican candidate, which is Bradley Byrne, 45% of the vote. U.S. House District 2, this is the portion of the state around Montgomery, Martha Roby, who is the GOP Republican candidate, 87% of the vote. And Eric Wright, that is 17% of the vote, 2 out of 399 precincts reporting. Quite a ways to go on that particular one. U.S. House District 3, this is East Central Alabama around the Auburn area. Mike Rogers, Republican candidate, and Jesse Smith, there are no votes in on that particular group yet, so nothing to report. In fact, that one, the Huntsville area, no votes in either. U.S. House District 6 around Birmingham, Gary Palmer, who is a Republican candidate, 82% of the votes. Mark Lester, 18% of the votes, the Democratic candidate there. State Senate, District 1, no votes in on that one yet. District 6, this is Roger Bedford versus Larry Stutz. Roger Bedford is a Democratic candidate. I believe he's the incumbent, 67% of the vote going to him. And Larry Stutz, so far, 33% of the vote.
And Jay, at sure. 7:51, the first four boxes from Coleman County have rolled into the courthouse here, so they are beginning to process those.
Well, that's good.
And we will soon
You must begin. Have looked up and seen the boxes walking into the building.
They rolled down the aisle and went down the back wall and down the far wall to the back, so they're going to start processing those. So very shortly, we're going to start having results locally here from Coleman County.
Good deal. I'll keep updating everyone on state, and as soon as you get that piece of paper in your hand, Tommy, you just push me over and take over. Roger Bedford, Democratic, 67% of the vote. Larry Stutz, 33% of the vote. We District 7, that is Paul Sanford and Brian Bennett. That is no boxes counted there yet, no votes counted. Same deal with State Senate, District 8. District 11, no votes counted yet. District 12. District 13, wow, just got really quiet. I guess you turned off a microphone.
Yes.
you turned off the noisy microphone. Okay. And I guess people are beginning to hear how many people are. How many would you say are here? About 50 or 75?
We probably have between 50 and 70 folks here.
And we're all just politicking and shaking hands and watching the board waiting to see what happens.
And as the evening progresses, more and more folks start filing in.
I'm sure it certainly will. Still no votes count. Oh, go ahead.
I'll start saying according to the Associated Press, they are thinking that Bentley being declared the governor in Alabama may be the quickest declaration that's ever been issued.
30 seconds is the new record
in election. So if that holds, that could be a record.
I'm going to skip most of these that have no votes counted yet. I'm only going to read the ones that do have votes counted. A lot of people are not interested overall in these different districts, but they are interested in the overall picture. Republican versus Democrat. We have District 22, Greg Albritton, the Republican candidate, 71% of the vote. Susan Smith, the Democratic candidate, 29% of the vote. District 32, There are no votes cast in there yet, or at least reported. District 32, no votes reported yet. District 16, Kyle South versus Daniel Bowman. Kyle South, the Republican candidate so far, 91% of the vote there against the Democratic candidate, which is 9% of the vote. District 19, State House, no votes tallied yet. District 21, no votes tallied yet. District 22, nothing yet. 47, nothing yet. 52, nothing yet. 53, nothing yet. It's kind of like the Coleman County here. They probably have boxes, but they're just now beginning to count them. Nothing in for 56 or 78 yet. 79, 81, 98. Yeah, most of these are no votes counted yet. We do have some updates on those state amendments that Tommy and I were talking about a few minutes ago, and we'll cover those again here in a few minutes to bring everyone up to date on the legalese of those particular amendments. But the Foreign Laws Amendment number one currently looks like it's going to pass with 75 versus 25. Of course, 6 out of 2,469 amendments or amendments, 2,469 precincts reporting. Only 6 of those have reported, so a long way to go to declare that that is indeed going to pass. And that looks to be the case on most of these amendments. Number 2, 61 versus 39 in favor of passing, but only 6 out of nearly 2,500 precincts reporting there. 6 out of 2,469 on number 3, which is the right to bear arms, but still looking good for the yeses. Expenditure increase, looking good for the yeses as well. And right to hunt ballot issue, looking good for the yeses as well, 86% on that one.
In Coleman County, Jay, with 1 out of 51 boxes reporting, straight party voting, Republican 82%, Democratic 17%. In Coleman County, the state senator District 4 between Paul Bussman and Doc Mancuso, Paul Bussman 227 votes, Doc Mancuso 46. That translates to 83% for Bussman versus 16% of the vote for Doc Mancuso. That with, again, only 1 of 51 boxes reporting in Coleman County.
Okay. So I was just talking about those statewide amendments. If some of the people who voted looked at those and tried to read the language on it, it might have been a little bit confusing. We have been provided some information to pass on kind of after the fact. It would have been nice to have it, you know, before we voted. Some of this information was available if you were to go to the state legislature, www.legislature.state.al.us. But here's some background information and kind of interpreting the legalese on what happened if these amendments are to pass versus if they are to fail. So Amendment 1, if Amendment 1 is passed, Alabama will have in place a constitutional provision that says that the Alabama citizens will not be subjected to foreign law if the application of the foreign law would violate the existing Alabama law or result in a violation of their rights. So it sounds to me, not to tell you how to vote, it sounds to me like Amendment 1 should pass. Now, if that were to fail, courts and legal authorities may choose to refuse to apply foreign law if the foreign law would result in a violation of Alabama law and or deprive a citizen of his or her rights, even if there is no particular statute or constitutional amendment requiring that the court or legal authority do so. It has no impact on taxes, and there is no cost associated with Amendment 1. It looks to be a formality on how that law is applied. Now, Amendment 2, if it's passed, this affects the state may borrow up to an additional $50 million in bonds to be repaid within 20 years in order to plan funds, construction, and maintenance of the existing Alabama, and I guess possibly future, Alabama National Guard armories. If Amendment 2 is defeated, the state will not be authorized to borrow up to an additional $50 million in bonds for construction or maintenance of the Alabama National Guard armories. The cost of Amendment 2, of course, is not known at this time. I guess that would be referring to any construction that, you know, may be taken underway as part of, you know, any National Guard improvements. At this point, Amendment 2 will have no direct impact on income taxes, but it would redirect the distribution of income from the Alabama Trust Fund. It's estimated that the cost of the Alabama Tobacco and Firearms – nope, I'm reading that incorrectly. It's another acronym – the cost to the Alabama Trust Fund of repaying $50 million in bonds that could be issued under this amendment would be about $3.7 million annually for 20 years, which would actually reduce the interest income of the state's general fund and local governments. reviewing Amendment 3. If Amendment 3 is passed, the right to bear arms will actually be elevated under the Alabama State Constitution to a fundamental right and given to the highest possible protection. I think that would be a good thing. This right would also be provided with additional protection from the potential interference by any international treaty or foreign law. Now, if that amendment is defeated, the right to bear arms in Alabama will still exist in the state constitution, but it will not be declared a fundamental right. That doesn't sound good. And may not be subjected to the highest possible protections. The right to bear arms will also be protected from potential interference by international laws and treaties. Now, in terms of costs, taxes, that type of thing, there is no projected cost for Amendment 3, and Amendment 3 will have no immediate impact on taxes. Moving right along to Amendment 4, and again, the most recent report looked like, I mean, only about 8% of the boxes are in from the state of Alabama, but most of these amendments look like they're going to pass. If Amendment 4 is passed, more votes will be required for the Alabama legislature to pass unfunded mandates on local school boards. That's interesting. Except for legislation that addresses compensation benefits or due process rights of any employee on a board of education. Now, if Amendment 4 is defeated, the legislature can continue to pass bills that impose unfunded mandates on boards of education by a simple majority vote of the legislature.
And, Jay, we kind of knew it was coming, but Parker Griffith has conceded now to Governor Bentley in the statewide race for governor. And in Coleman County, with 2 out of 51 precincts reporting in State Senator District 4, Paul Bussman, 483, Doc Mancuso, 124. That's a 79% to 20% advantage there for our Senator Paul Bussman. And in the race for Coleman County Coroner, with 2% of the boxes in, Jeremy Kilpatrick leads Gary Murphy by only about 10 votes at this particular time. So that's, again, with only 2 of 51 precincts reporting.
And did they just refresh the screen on you, or is it a different screen than you were looking at a minute ago?
They are. They're refreshing it as they put a new box in. They're refreshing the screen with new numbers. So.
Good deal. Good deal.
And we could, you know, we could give you the local results. Say, for example, the state strength. You're probably more interested in who's going to win that race statewide rather than who won Coleman County, because even if they win Coleman County, they may not be the statewide.
Not the whole enchilada. That's right. What, 64 other counties to go, right? Or 62?
In most of the local races, the sheriff's race, revenue commissioner's race, we're not even going to tell you those results, because we know if those officials got in, they
we're
are.
Pretty
they
sure are we know the results of those folks, don't we?
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you what, Tommy, let's take another quick break. Required to say you're listening to WRJM LP Coleman. With that, we'll take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Election Coverage, K5 Coleman's Independent Radio.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Boxes walking into the room as we speak, trying to get a good idea of point of view. Music there, by the way, that is the U.S. Marine Band playing Stars and Stripes Forever. Currently, it looks like we are at, I know there is a number of boxes on this piece of paper, but I cannot see it. Well, total ballots cast is 619. There we go. Precincts counted at 51. There are two boxes in as of this update. And do you want to read these, Tommy? You want me to do it?
It doesn't matter. There are
Pass it to you.
With about two boxes in, statewide voting for first we'll look at Lieutenant Governor within Coleman County, and Kay Ivey carrying 61% of that vote now to 38%. James Fields for scroll down here and get to State Senate District 4. Actually, in the Attorney General's race, let's see where we are here. My apologies, trying to work through the computer screen and see where the
I am teaching Tommy how to use a laptop. Yeah, it's a lot quicker to use those scroll keys.
In State Senator District 4, with 2 of 51 boxes in, basically just about 4% of the vote, Paul Bussman, 483 votes, Doc Mancuso, 124. That's a 79.5% percentage to a 20% percentage. Again, that with right at 4% of the vote in. Working down to the Secretary of State race, again, this within Coleman County with 4% of the vote in, John Merrill, 498, and Lula Albert Kager, 89 votes. In the race for Coleman County Coroner, again, with 4% of the vote reporting, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 334 votes, Gary Murphy, 275. That is a 54.5% to 45% lead there for Jeremy Kilpatrick. And for working down to the Vinemont District 6 school, zero of the five precincts are reporting there for the Coleman County Board of Education in District Number 6. So when we get those, we'll pass those numbers along to you. But again, the State Senate District 4 race, once again, Paul Bussman with about an 80% to 20% lead over Doc Mancuso. And the race for Coleman County Coroner is right at 58% for Jeremy Kilpatrick to Gary Murphy's 42% of the vote currently here with 2 of 51 boxes reporting in.
Tommy, we've said it time and time again. I'm sure you voted because you're a great redheaded American and, you know, you love to express your opinions and all that kind of good stuff. But it was a very quick ballot this time around. Very few Democrats on it. Didn't take long to vote. Didn't take long. We're hoping it doesn't take long to count the boxes, but we'll just have to see.
Hoping to be home in time to get some get some warm supper. But it could be a long evening. Is here we're at 8:11 and we have two boxes reporting in. But there are more boxes beginning to file in now.
We had kind of a running bet on how long we'll be here. I think you said we would be gone by 8:15, and I looked at you and laughed and said it'll be at least 9:30.
In the statewide race for lieutenant governor with 33. Boxes in of 2,469, Kay Ivey, 5,660 votes, James Fields, 4,417. In the race, in the governor's race, basically, Parker Griffith has conceded to Governor Bentley, so Governor Bentley will serve 4 more years as governor of the great state of Alabama. And they're beginning to update the screens now with more boxes reporting in. We'll get those numbers to you as soon as we have them available on the screen.
I've got a couple of screens in front of me. Someone is announcing right now. I believe that's Hugh Harris announcing some.
And basically, he's announcing that some of the Coleman County boxes are slow to come in due to so many write-in votes. So they're trying to sort through the write-ins.
Yeah, let's see if we can just pick him up.
Lieutenant Governor James Fields, 478. Kay Ivey, 793. U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, 1,090. 12 write-ins. Representative Robert Atterholm, 1,087. 9 write-ins. Attorney General Joe Hubbard, 279. Whitney Springs, 964. State Senator District 4, Mancuso, 259, Bussman, 1,001. Ed Henry, no precincts in there yet. Number District 11, Adam Shedd, 485, 3 write-ins. District 12, Corey Harrison, 578, 7 write-ins. Associate Justice Supreme Court Place 1, Greg Shaw with 1,025. Civil Bills Place 1, Bill Thompson 1,022. Court of Civil Bills Place Number 2, Scott Carlson 1,017. Court of Criminal Bills Place 1, Mary Whitman 1,010. Court of Criminal Bills Place 2, Beth Kellum 1,004. Secretary of State, Gager, 186, John Bell, 1,036, State Treasurer, Young Boucher, 1,024, State Auditor, Joseph, 212, Jim Ziegler, 1,004, Commissioner of Agriculture and Industries, Doug Smith of 092, John McMillan of 1026, Public Service Commission Place 1, Jeremy Oden 1035, Place 2, 1020, Chris Baker, State Board of Education District 6, Cynthia McCarty, 1015, Cone County Coroner Gary Murphy, 540, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 717, Cone County Commission Place 1, Terry Watson, 1050, Place number 2, Gary Marchman, 1036, Cone County Revenue Commissioner Barry Willingham, 1033, Cone County Sheriff Matt Gentry, 1038, Cone County Chris Carter, 276. Cone County Board of Education, Kenny Brockman, 265. Cone County Board of Education, no votes in on District 6 is the 9-month slot. District 7, Jason Spiegel, no votes are in there yet. Amendment number 1, yes, 810, no, 240. Statewide Amendment number 2, yes, 459, no, 557. Amendment number 3, yes, 931, no, 185. Opposed. Amendment number 4, yes, 554, no, 457. Proposed statewide Amendment number 5, yes, 937, no, 159.
And again, we'll start running back down these numbers. These are local numbers from Cullman County, again, with five of the precincts reporting in of 51 precincts. In the Lieutenant Governor's race, Kay Ivey, 793 votes. James Fields, 478. For United States Senator Jeff Sessions, received 1,090 votes. There were 12 write-in votes there, but he was basically unopposed. Same for Robert Adderholt, 1,087 votes. There were 9 write-in votes cast there. In the race for Attorney General here, with 5 of 51 precincts reporting in Cullman County, Joe Hubbard, 279 votes. Luther Strange, 964. Again, these are Cullman County results. In District 4, the state Senate seat, held by Senator Paul Bussman, 1,001 votes. To Doc Mancuso's 259 votes. That's an 80% to 20% margin now for our state Senator Paul Bussman. In the race for Secretary of State, again within Cullman County, John Merrill received 1,036 votes to Kegler's 186. In this race for state auditor within Cullman County, with 5 precincts reporting in, Jim Ziegler, 1,004 votes, and Miranda Joseph, 212. In the race for Cullman County coroner, again with 9% of the votes reporting in, 5 boxes out of 51, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 717 votes, Gary Murphy, 540 votes. That's a 57 to 43% lead for Jeremy Kilpatrick. And in the State Board of Education places, there are 0 of the 5 boxes reporting in for each of those places. The one race that was an opposed race is the District 6 State Cullman County Board of Education in place number 6. And as soon as we get results from that district, we'll pass those along to you. Statewide voting in Cullman County on the amendments. Again, it doesn't really matter how we vote in the county. It's overall statewide. But if you want to know how Cullman County looked at the amendments, in amendment number 1, 810 votes to 240 votes no. For amendment number 2, the yes votes 459, no votes 557. Amendment number 3, 931 yes votes to 185 votes against. Amendment number 4 within Cullman County, 554 votes yes, no votes 457. And amendment number 5 again within Cullman County, with 5 of 51 precincts reporting yes votes 937, no votes 159. And the local amendment number 1 here in Cullman County, again with 5 of 51 precincts reporting in yes on local amendment number 1, 605, and no on local amendment number 1 at 456. Again, that with just 5 out of 51 precincts reporting in, about 10% here within Cullman County.
interesting. Tommy, the state is just a little bit behind where Coleman is. You said that was what percentage?
Basically 10%, 9.8%.
The state is at 5% in. That's 122 precincts out of 2,469 precincts reporting. We're looking at just a couple of popular races here. 59% of the vote for Robert Bentley versus Parker Griffith. You had 41% of the vote. That race has already been called by the Associated Press.
And looking, if you've ever been in the main courtroom on the third floor of the courthouse on the north end of the courthouse, if you can imagine the east wall, the entire east wall and wrapping around a part of the south wall is lined with boxes checking in. So the numbers here in Coleman County are going to really start clicking because they're all lined up down that east wall working toward the south end of the main courtroom here on the third floor. So
that is a good thing. Okay, Lieutenant Governor, General Rice there, Kay Ivey, who is reported to be Republican but also has an I by her name. I guess that would be the incumbent. 59% versus James Fields, 41%. Attorney General for the state, Luther Strange, who is the incumbent. The Republican Party, 55%. Joe Hubbert at 45%. Again, 4% of the precincts reporting, or 94 of 2,469. The state Secretary of State, we have Lula Albert Kager, who is a Democrat. She is 56% versus John Merrill, who has 44% of the vote. For auditor, we have Miranda Joseph at 58% of the vote. She is a Democratic candidate versus Jim Ziegler, who has 42% of the vote currently. And that, again, is roughly 1% of the precincts reporting. We have the Agriculture Commissioner race there. That is John McMillan, 57% of the vote from the Republican side of things. Doug Smith is 43% of the vote from the Democratic side of things. And tell you what, we will go ahead and prepare to take another break, and we will bring you up to date as they continue to count more of these boxes here at the Coleman Courthouse on the third floor here. Where literally they are counting boxes. There are quite a few boxes in here, and we hope that they will be ramping these numbers up pretty promptly. We'll be right back with you in a few minutes, right after here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or online at www.mortonbuildings.com. Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800, it's Odin's Auto Glass.
And welcome back to the Live 95 live coverage of election returns in Coleman County, as well as statewide and nationally here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio, brand new radio station here, signed on back in April, and just trying to do our bit to be the community alongside with Tommy Warhurst. I'm Jay Fuller here. We're in the third floor of the Coleman County Courthouse watching the boxes come in.
And Jay, looking at a statewide race, there's just been a big turn of events in the statewide race for attorney general, with 33 of 2,469 votes reporting in. Joe Hubbard has taken the lead in that race, 5,000 votes to Luther Strange, 4,828. That's a 52-48% advantage for Joe Hubbard. Again, that with 33 boxes reporting in out of 2,469 statewide in the race for attorney general, one of the races in Alabama that is expected to be a highly contested race.
That is quite a change. Actually, looking at some national numbers here, too, we are looking at 85% of the seats determined. I'm sure that's not official, but you know how this works. You know, the
postcodes,
the politicos, determine what's going on. But we're looking at 41 seats are going to be Democratic, 44 seats are going to be Republican, and that is on the Senate side of things. We have known all along, if you've watched any of the Sunday news shows or any of the political coverage, that's going to be a very closely contested race. The U.S. House, this not to be too unexpected, seats in play 435. Currently, this is 43% of the seats determined. They are looking at 66 of those to be Democratic and 119 of those to be Republican. So looking to be a Republican year, Tommy.
And again, local results beginning to come in here in Coleman County. There are a lot of write-in votes that have been cast today, and that is what is taking so long to count. Someone could write in Donald Duck as a candidate. Someone could write in Tommy Warhurst or Jay Fuller. Those votes have to be counted, and that is what is taking so long to get the boxes reported in and counted here in Coleman County. But again, what we have so far with 10% of the votes in the lieutenant governor's race here in Coleman County. Kay Ivey, 793 votes to James Fields, 478. The race for state senator in District 4, Paul Busman, our state senator, 1,001 votes to Doc Mancuso's 259 votes. In the race for Coleman County Coroner, again, with 10% of the votes reporting in, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 717 votes, Gary Murphy, 540 votes. In the race for Coleman County Sheriff, Coleman County Revenue Commissioner, Coleman County Commission, place 2, place 1, those elections were all unopposed. So congratulations to our Sheriff Matt Gentry, to Revenue Commissioner Barry Willingham, to Cullman County Commissioner Place 2, Gary Marchman, and Cullman County Commissioner Place 1, Kerry Watson. We spoke with Kerry Watson and Gary Marchman earlier this evening, and I think they're both of those guys have a vision of teamwork for Cullman County, getting all the commissioners to work together as a team to move Cullman County forward. And both of them kind of have the same goal as my vision for the county. We want Cullman County to grow. We want Cullman County to get new business, to get new industry, to get new jobs. But the one thing we've got to do, we have to keep that hometown feel here from Cullman County, that when folks come to visit us here, they leave talking about the experience they had, the way that they were welcomed here in our small town here in the heart of Dixie here in Cullman.
Yeah, we gave them some kudos on our new program here on Live 95 this week live, which airs each Monday from 4 to 6. Not only those guys, but you know, basically the whole government here of the city and the county, the economic development folks, all of them doing a great job. We were trying to calculate how many jobs are probably coming just in the next year. Looking at the 222 interchange, the interstate exit going in there, of course, the shopping center, you know, development being kind of redone in the city of Cullman. I believe they projected around 600 jobs there. I haven't even seen any projections on what adding another Walmart on the north end of town is going to do, you know, with all of the little shops around that.
It will give you options depending on what part of town you're on as to where you want to go shop.
That's true. That's one of the very good things that will continue to do. Some other races around the nation that I've kind of been keeping an eye on here, trying to let Tommy do all the work and me do all the research. That's never going to work out quite right, but West Virginia has definitely been cast for Republican. Shelley Moore Capito, I guess, is her last name. That was a race that now that state used to pretty much be Democratic all along, and they have gone Republican this time. Mitch McConnell has won his race there in Kentucky, and I saw some other interesting things, but of course they have disappeared off of my screen at the moment. For some reason, my smartphone is trying to give me videos, and I don't really want videos. So,
well, the race there with Mitch McConnell in Kentucky was a highly contested race, and there was a lot of experts who thought
right up to the last minute.
they thought that seat could go Democratic. So, in a close election there, Mitch McConnell hangs on to his seat, and the Republicans maintain control of at least one seat in the Senate there. So,
I think I may have some more updated numbers here than what you were looking at in terms of the local race. This is 17.65% of the votes counted. And looking at the Alabama Democratic Party straight ticket voting, 172 or 15%. Alabama Republican Party straight ticket, 84%. Not real shocking there. Republican Robert Bentley, of course, basically reelected as governor, 82.61% of the vote. And Parker Griffith, the Democratic candidate, 17.65% of the vote. Did you by chance just get what I'm reading?
Just got the hard copy printout of what you're reading, Jay. Actually, this is with 20% of the votes reporting in.
Then. Okay, yours is newer than mine. All right, well, I'll let you take over then.
So with 20% of the votes reporting in Cullman County, straight ticket Republican Party voting, 85% to 14.8% for the Alabama Democratic Party. In the race for lieutenant governor in Cullman County, KIV, 2,077 votes. James Fields, 1,196. That's a 64% to 37% lead for KIV, again, within Cullman County voting. For state senator district number 4 in Cullman County, with 20% of the precincts reporting in, Paul Bussman, 2,581 votes. Doc Mancuso, 668 votes. That's an 80% to 20% advantage for Paul Bussman. In the race for Cullman County coroner, with 20% of the vote in, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 1,909 votes to Gary Murphy, 1,330. That's a 59% to 41% advantage for Jeremy Kilpatrick. In the race for Cullman County Board of Education, District Number 6. This is the Vinemont District. Randy Hassenbaum, 349 votes to Mike Graves, 430. That is a 55% to 44% advantage for Mike Graves. That in the Vinemont District, District Number 6. District Number 2 for Cullman County School Board of Education was unopposed to Chris Carter. Also, District 4, Kenny Brockman was unopposed, as well as District 7. So the only opposed race for the Colman County Board of Education was that in District number 6, and currently Mike Graves has a 55-44% advantage over Randy Hassenbaum. Again, the race for Colman County Coroner with 20% of the votes reporting in. Jeremy Kilpatrick, 1,909 votes to Gary Murphy, 1,330. And State Senate District 4, Paul Busman, 2,581 votes to Doc Mancuso, 668. That with 20% of the votes reporting in here as their time says as of 8:30. We're now at 8:35. So these are the latest numbers from Colman County with 20% of our precincts reporting in. And looking at some numbers statewide, again, if you're just joining us, the Associated Press declared at 7:06 that Robert Bentley will be the next governor of the state of Alabama, continuing another 4-year term for him. And it looks like too, with I had the statewide attorney general's numbers and then they vanished. Oh, my apologies.
Blame
technology is what Mr. Fuller says. In the statewide race for the attorney general, with 33 of 2,469 precincts reporting in, Joe Hubbard, 5,232 votes to Luther Strange, 4,828. That is a 52-48% advantage for Joe Hubbard in the race for attorney general. Statewide for lieutenant governor, with 33 of 2,469 precincts reporting in, Kay Ivey, 5,660 votes to James Fields, 4,417, a 56-44% advantage for Kay Ivey in the race for lieutenant governor.
Yep, Tommy, a few statewide updates coming in. Of course, 30 seconds after the polls closed, they had already called the state for Governor Robert Bentley. He will continue to be our governor, but officially with 18% of the precincts reporting, as my page automatically updates here without me asking it to. 55% of the votes, or 73,208, went to Robert Bentley, and 60,939 votes, or 45% of the vote, went to Parker Griffith. Attorney General Luther Strange, 55% to 45%, or 53,210 votes versus 44,117. Again, that currently going to Luther Strange, the Republican incumbent. And those are the only ones I have at the moment from that particular website.
And again, more boxes continuing to file in to the third floor main courtroom here at the Colman County Courthouse. Once again, the entire east wall from the north end to the south end of the courtroom is lined with boxes making their way in. So we've gone from a quick 10% to 20% of the boxes reporting in, and I feel very confident that very shortly we'll be getting another update. And as I say that, thank you very much.
Literally, there you go.
Another update here. And this
25.49?
29%.
You're more up to date than I'm getting off the website, so with, you go right ahead.
With 29% of the precincts reporting in Colman County, in the race for lieutenant governor. Again, these are Colman County votes for lieutenant governor, and they're also trending the same statewide. Kay Ivey, 3,127 votes. James Fields, 1,882. That's a 62-37% advantage for Kay Ivey. In the state senate race, district number 4, our Senator Paul Busman, 3,935 votes to Doc Mancuso, 1,030 votes. Again, maintaining about an 80% to a 20% margin for Paul Busman. There were 6 write-in votes in that, but those 6 names are not disclosed at this time. They'll be available later on this evening.
Bart Simpson and Pink Floyd and maybe Tommy Warhurst.
Could be, but thankfully Paul Busman got more of those than I did. I'll keep my day job. In the weekend job doing football to
there
do
you
this.
Go. There you
in
go.
The race for Colman County Coroner, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 2,898 votes to Gary Murphy, 2,058 votes. That's a 59% to 41% advantage for Jeremy Kilpatrick. In the Colman County Board of Education, District number 6, the Vinemont District, Mike Graves, 704 votes, and Randy Hassenbein, 642 votes. That's a 52-48% advantage in that race for Mike Graves. Those the contested races within Colman County that bear looking into, again, State Senate District 4, Coleman County Coroner, Coleman County Board of Education, District Number 6. Also, the local amendment, number 1 here in Coleman County, the yes votes leading the no votes by 59% to 41%, 2,467 yes, 1,746 no. There were three other votes, and I'm not sure what an other vote besides yes or no would be, unless someone said maybe.
Maybe. There you go.
Statewide amendments appear to be, as far as Coleman County goes, for statewide amendment, proposed amendment number 1, Coleman County voted yes, 76%. For amendment number 2, Coleman County voted no, 55%. For amendment number 3, Coleman County voted yes, 82%. For amendment number 4, Coleman County voted yes, 53%. And proposed amendment number 5, Coleman County voted yes, 85%.
Tommy, I guess nobody notices you when you have on a headset here at the third floor of the courthouse. I'm waving at people that I know. I guess I'm not inclined enough to put the headset down and go say hi.
But, just in disguise.
Maybe they will notice me sooner or later. Turning quickly our attention to the national picture, U.S. Senate, we are at 87% of the seats determined by who shall remain nameless. By the exit polls and the various people who are calling these races, looking at 42 seats now in the Senate for the Democrats, 45 seats for the Republicans, and again, 87% of those seats determined. I'm going to go do some research here in a minute on the next break and see if any of those closely contested states have made any decisions.
I don't want to send a hats off and a fine job to our local Coleman County Sheriff's deputies. These are the gentlemen and the ladies who are escorting the ballot boxes in. And I see a gentleman on the far wall who's got his arms extended. He's holding three boxes.
He's been holding them for like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
right?
He's close to the back of the line, so he's got a while to go. So yep. Hats off to these jobs. One, for the jobs that they do on the streets for us in the county, but two, what they do here to keep secure a process that a lot of men and women have served and died so yep. that we can actually have a process of going through. So
absolutely. Looking at the national picture of the U.S. House, a little bit farther behind, only 50% of the seats determined here, but a much wider gap, obviously. The Republicans currently projected to hold 136 seats. The Democrats projected to hold 78 seats. And again, the national picture, what we're looking at there, and I'll repeat the U.S. Senate numbers in case you missed them, 42 seats for the Democrats, 45 seats currently for the Republicans. And as I had mentioned on our new program, I mentioned this a few times, and we have a public affairs program now on Mondays called This Week Live. That airs from 4 to 6. And we were focusing a little bit on the race there in Louisiana. Currently, there is a Democratic incumbent running, and then there are two Republicans running, one the standard Republican flavor and one sort of the Tea Party Republican flavor. They did not feel like that was going to be close enough to call, so they felt like they're going to have a runoff there. And when the runoff occurred, they expected that the two Republicans would actually combine their forces and come out, and that would become a Republican seat as well. I've not seen any updates for what has actually happened there as of yet tonight. I am going to go on a voyage to see if I can figure that out. I believe we've got some more boxes coming in shortly, so we'll get those for you. Right here, you're listening to election coverage on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
We'll be right back.
95 Coleman's Independent Radio. Music there from the U.S. Marine Band, bringing us back into our election coverage here. We are live at the courthouse, third floor, where the election returns are coming in. The sheriff's deputies are lined up against the wall. We've got, what, about 24 or 50-something boxes in?
20 boxes of 51.
But Tommy has lost the bet on how long we're going to be here tonight.
Which translates into 39% of the vote, and we'll run down. Coleman County, as a whole, voted 86% straight Republican ticket.
Why am I not surprised?
To 14%. And in the race, obviously for governor, Coleman County voted 82% for Robert Bentley. In the race for lieutenant governor in Coleman County has voted 62% for Kay Ivey. Again, this with 39% of the precincts reporting in. In the race for attorney general in Coleman County voted 78% for Luther Strange. State Senate, District 4, Paul Bussman with 39% of the precincts reporting in. Paul Bussman, 5,106 votes to Doc Mancuso's 1,345. Again, our Senator Paul Bussman maintaining an 80% to 20% advantage over Doc Mancuso. In the race for Coleman County Coroner, again with 39% of the precincts reporting in, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 3,764 votes. Gary Murphy, 2,668. That's a 59% to 41% advantage for Jeremy Kilpatrick. In the race for Coleman County Board of Education, District Number 6, Mike Graves, 704 votes to Randy Hassenbein, 642. That's a 52 to 48% advantage for Mike Graves. Local amendment number one on your ballot, the yes votes, 59%, no votes, 40%. That translates to 3,247 yes votes, 2,211 no votes. On the statewide amendments, here's how Coleman County voted. On amendment number one, again with 39% of the precincts reporting, Coleman County voted yes, 76%. On amendment number two, Coleman County voted no, 56%. On amendment number three, Coleman County voted yes, 82%. On proposed amendment number four, Coleman County voted yes, 54%. And statewide amendment number five, Coleman County voted yes, 85%. Again, that with 39% of the precincts reporting in.
Got some statewide updates here coming in. We are right at 25%. Or 620 of 2,469 precincts reporting. Robert Bentley, about 30 seconds after the polls closed, they announced basically he was going to continue to be our governor. 59% of the vote, or at this point, 113,879, against his opponent, Parker Griffith, the Democratic candidate, who got 79,341 votes, or 41% of the vote. Lieutenant Governor, looking like Kay Ivey, the incumbent, is going to keep that job, at least at this point. Of course, at 25%, actually 20%, there's still a lot of room for that to grow and change. 57% of the vote for Kay Ivey at 87,966 votes versus James Fields, Democratic candidate, 43% of the vote, 66,954 votes. For Attorney General, Luther Strange keeping that job currently. He's also the incumbent. And the Republican candidate, 80,588 votes. Joe Hubbard, Democratic candidate, 75,438 votes, or 48% of the vote. For Secretary of State, again, only 19% of the precincts reporting here. John Merrill at 59%, or 86,055 votes. Lula Albert Kager at 41% of the vote, or 60,473. Auditor General Jim Ziegler, the Republican candidate, 64% of the vote, 70,558 votes. Miranda Joseph, the Democratic contender, 36% of the vote there, or 40,550 votes. Looking at the Agriculture Commissioner, John McMillan, 65% of the vote. Doug Smith, 35% of the vote. Looking down at the south end of the state, southwest corner, Mobile, Bradley Byrne, 67% of the vote, versus Burton LaFleur at 33% of the vote. District 2 for the U.S. House, that's going to be around Montgomery, Martha Robbie at 65% of the vote versus Eric Wright's 35% of the vote. Moving over to District 3, this is East Central Alabama around Auburn, 30% of the vote reporting here, Mike Rogers at 68% versus the opponent from the Democratic side of things, Jesse Smith, at 32% of the vote. Moving on up north of here to Huntsville, Mo Brooks at 74% of the vote versus the opponent, Mark Bray, at 26% of the vote. Going a little bit south to the Birmingham area, District 6 for U.S. House, Gary Palmer, 52% of the vote versus Mark Lester, 48% of the vote. Only 4% of the precincts reporting there. General State Senate District 1, Tim Melson, 57%, Mike Curtis, 43%, and District 6, we're looking at Larry Stutz at 50% of the vote, Roger Bedford at 50% of the vote. This is with 16%, or 15 of 95 precincts reporting. Interesting numbers there. Larry Stutz, 2,210 votes versus Roger Bedford, 2,208. That's a pretty close race. District 7, State Senate, Paul Sanford, 2,211, or 73% of the vote, versus Brian Bennett at 27% of the vote. District 8, Steve Livingston, 72% of the vote, versus Horace Clemens, 28% of the vote. District 11, Jim McClendon is 59% of the vote versus Ron Crumpton. Crumpton, yes, 41% of the vote. Looking at District 12, Del Marsh at 55% of the vote versus Taylor Stewart, 45% of the vote. So I'm going to keep going.
couple of updated numbers from Coleman County, with 24 of 51 precincts reporting in the race for Coleman County Coroner. Kilpatrick, 4,494 votes to Gary Murphy, 3,074 votes. In the race for State Senate District number 4, Paul Busman, 6,263 votes to Doc Mancuso, 1,645. That with 25 of 51 precincts reporting in. And our Senator Paul Busman has just walked in the door, and we'll be talking with Senator Busman here very shortly, as he has made his way in here to the courthouse here at Coleman County. We'll be talking with him and kind of giving him an early congratulations here from the results room here in the Coleman County Courthouse. So.
Got an update here from the national standpoint. We're looking at 89% of the seats counted for the U.S. Senate, looking at 42 votes on the Democratic side of things versus 47% on the Republican side of things. And also looking at the U.S. House of Representatives, 89 votes, or seats rather, in place for the Democrats versus 148 seats in place for the Republicans. Looking at 89% of the seats counted there for the U.S. Senate, and 55% of the seats counted there for the U.S. House. I'm going to turn it back over to Tommy.
And we're joined by our state senator, Paul Busman. First of all, Senator, congratulations and thanks for coming by.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It's been a good night, and I'm glad it's over.
You mentioned in your television ads that a lot of work has been done, and we want to thank you for what you've done for Coleman County for that, too. And yet you mentioned there's a lot of work still to be done. Talk a little bit about your vision of what's left to be done for Coleman County.
Well, I think there's a lot of things going on that we're going to have to really address over the next 4 years. One of the main things we've got to address is the budget. We're going to have a budget crunch of about $300 million this year that we've got to fix, and we've got to fix it right. We've got to do that without raising taxes, and that's going to be a challenge for us. The other thing I think we've got to do is we've got to continue to build infrastructure. That's the only way we're going to continue to create jobs and create an environment for people to want to come here to work. And so that's a big challenge for us. And then we've got to deal with some of the issues that we all know about, the prisons. You know, we've got to deal with the foster care issue. We've got a lot of issues with adoption that we've got to deal with. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and I think that it's going to be a very, very busy 4 years.
Hats off on a lot of projects that I know you worked hard on to get accomplished, and one that has been talked about for years that broke ground a few weeks ago. That's the 222 interchange. I know you're proud of that.
That was probably one of the proudest days I was to see dirt moving. You know, you get all these promises that things are going to get done, and it's on the blocks to be done. But you know, until somebody starts a bulldozer out there and starts pushing dirt, I'm not comfortable with that. You know, it's been a long time coming for Topray. You know, they were promised this interchange when they came, 10 years ago? Mm-hmm. And so it's been a long time coming, but it's just, it's a very exciting to see it happen, and the economic opportunities of another interchange are going to be, unbelievable when we see what that turns out to be in the next 10, 15 years.
Right. One thing we talked about tonight with our county commissioners in the different places was the growth that we're seeing in Coleman County, and yet maintaining that hometown feel that Coleman is known for. And I know that's important to you too.
I think that's just Coleman people. Yeah. You know, you come into Coleman and you're welcomed. The industries love it here because the people open their arms for them to produce the products they produce. You know, the economic development group here works so well with them. But you know, you can't beat an area like Cullman where you've got, you know, all the recreation you can want, you know, with the lake and with the, you know, the four wheel track out at Bremen, you know, mountains, you just can't beat it around here. And then you've got a great hospital system. You've got a tremendous school system. You've got low crime. I mean, you've got all the pieces of the puzzle to really expand here. And I think we're going to continue to grow because of that.
Well, we've got those pieces and we've got a great state senator who represents our district. Thank you so much.
I can tell you, I'm humbled. And I'm very honored to serve the people of Cullman. And I look forward to four more years of working very hard for them and making sure that they get what they need and making sure that we do the right thing in government as opposed to backing it.
Right. Senator, congratulations again. Thank you very much for what you do for
us. Hey, appreciate it. You're
have a good night. Senator Paul Busman joining us. And as we receive more updates here on the votes in Cullman County now with 59% of the precincts reporting in. In the race for State Senate District 4, Paul Busman continues to maintain the 80% to 20% margin over Doc Mancuso.
Well, that's over the 50% mark now, right? We might be close there.
True. We are. Yeah, I think it's...
So we continue our marathon broadcast into hour number 30.
We are, 59% of the votes reporting in the race for Cullman County Coroner, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 5,740. Vote 60 to 40% advantage for Jeremy Kilpatrick. In the race for Cullman County Board of Education, District Number 6, again with 59% of the vote reporting in, Mike Graves, 704 votes to Randy Hassenbein, 642. That's a 52% to 48% advantage for Mike Graves. Local Amendment Number 1 in Cullman County, the yes votes, 4,836. To 3,375 no votes. That's a 59% to 41% advantage for the yes votes in local amendment number 1. Statewide, countywide. In countywide in Cullman County in the race for Lieutenant Governor, Cullman County voted 63% for Kay Ivey over 37% for James Fields. Again, that's just the vote within Cullman County. And Jay, more statewide results there, nationwide results that you have.
I am bringing them up right now at 37%, or 910 of 2,469 precincts reporting. We're at 59% of the vote for Governor Robert Bentley. He was declared victor 30 seconds after the polls closed. Parker Griffith, 41%. Well, Lieutenant Governor Kay Ivey, 58% of the vote versus James Fields, 42% of the vote. Attorney General Luther Strange, 52% of the vote versus Joe Hubbard at 48% of the vote. Secretary of State currently at 58% of the vote versus Lula Albert Kiger at 42% of the vote. One of the things I was looking for that I have not found yet, I wanted to see how statewide, but I had not quite gotten to that when you kicked it back to me there, Tommy. So,
yeah, that's part of live radio.
It is. I don't think they want us to know.
I'll try to see if I can round up some statewide numbers on the amendments as well as we speak.
I'll tell you what, we will go to a break real quick and kind of regroup, and we will come back. You're listening to election coverage right here on Cullman's Live 95, Cullman's independent radio, and as the FCC mandates that we must do at the top of every hour, hey, you're listening to WRJM-LP Cullman.
Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Cullman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800, it's Odin's Auto Glass. Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or
online at www.mortonbuildings.com.
Welcome back to election coverage here. We're on the third floor of the courthouse here in Cullman County, covering the state election results, the local election results, and every now and then, even the national election results. You're listening to Live 95, Cullman's independent radio station. Jay Fuller in here tonight with Tommy Warhurst assisting, and we have succeeded in our mission to locate the current results of the statewide amendments. We're looking at 19%. That's 466 of 2,469 precincts reporting. Looks like yeses are 73%, noes are 27%. State Amendment 2, the trust fund ballot issue, no seems to be in the lead right now. 18% of ballots counted, no is 51%, yes is 49%. State Amendment number 3, right to bear arms ballot issue. Yes, dramatically leading on that one. 74% versus 26%. 29% precincts reporting there. The expenditure increase, I believe that was tied to the National Guard Armory. Yes, 57%. No, 43%. And finally, the right to hunt. Tommy, you want to take a guess at this one?
Yeah, I would say it passed overwhelmingly.
80% yes, no, 20%. We'll kick it back over to you now. I think you've got some more local updates over there.
locally in the state senator race for District 4 within Coleman County, Paul Busman, 10,267 votes. Doc Mancuso, 2,736. Again, our Senator Paul Busman maintaining about an 80% to 20% advantage over Doc Mancuso.
And we heard from him just a few moments ago.
In Coleman County, again, this is with 75% of the precincts reporting in. Coleman County voted KIV. In the race for Coleman County Coroner, with 38 to 51% of the precincts reporting in, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 7,921 votes to Gary Murphy, 5,061, a 61 to 39% advantage for Jeremy Kilpatrick. In Coleman County Board of Education, District Number 6, this is the Vinemont District. Again, to 642 advantage to my Grace, 52% to 48%. Local amendment number 1, with 75% of the precincts reporting in. This is a local Coleman amendment. Yes, 6,418. No, 4,612. That's a 58% to 42% advantage for yes in local amendment number 1. Statewide in the amendments, Jay read how the amendments were trending statewide. Coleman County follows in suit on proposed amendment number 1. Coleman County voted no, 56%. Proposed amendment number 3, Coleman County voted yes, 82%. Proposed amendment number 4, Coleman County voted yes, 54%. And proposed amendment number 5, Coleman County voted yes, 84%.
Another quick update here on the national scene. U.S. Senate, 89% of the seats determined. We're looking at 42 Democratic chairs, 47 Republican chairs. That, of course, is projected to be a close call all the way through the process. And U.S. House of Representatives, this one not so close, of course. 94 Democratic seats in play, 155 Republican seats in play. And that is with roughly 58% of the seats determined. So I'll repeat that again. 89% of the seats determined on the Senate side of things, 47% Republican, 42% Democratic. And looking at the House side of things, less close here, fortunately. Of course, the Republicans have held the House for quite a while. 155 Republican seats taken and 94 House seats taken. And that's where we stand on things right now. Looking back at the local races, of course, we are trying to get some interviews with some local people here as well. Of course, coming on in through the evening, it is now 9:15. Tommy lost the bet here on how long we're going to be here until all the boxes were counted. But he is out trying to round up some more people for us to talk to. I know a lot of people would like to talk to the constituents, and that is part of what radio is for. Looks like 47% of the votes counted, 1,155 of 2,469 precincts reporting. Of course, Robert Bentley declared governor already, 58% of the votes versus Parker Griffith at 42% of the votes. Attorney General Luther Strange is 52% of the votes versus Joe Hubbard at 48% of the votes. Bringing up some more information to pass along to you here. Secretary of State John Merrill, 58% of the votes. This is 23% of the votes reporting, 58% of the vote going to John Merrill. I'll get it straight in a moment. The Democratic opponent Lula Albert Kager at 42%. Auditor Jim Ziegler at 61% versus Miranda Joseph, 39%. Agricultural Commissioner John McMillan at 42% versus Doug Smith at 38%. U.S. House District 1 down in the Mobile area. This is with 27% of the votes in. Bradley Byrne at 70%. He is the Republican incumbent. And Burton LaFleur, the Democratic opponent, 30% of the vote there. District 2, this is around Montgomery. Martha Roby at 41%, the Republican incumbent. The opponent, Eric Wright, got 39% of the votes. And down around East Central Alabama in the Auburn area, Mike Rogers at 61%, Republican incumbent, Jesse Smith at 39%, the Democratic opponent there. Moving north a little bit to the Huntsville area, District 5, Mo Brooks, 76%, and opponent Democratic side, Mark Bray, 24%. I apologize. He is not Democratic. He is an independent. But again, getting 24% of the votes. 42% of the votes in for District 6 U.S. House. This is the Birmingham area. Gary Palmer, 75% of the vote. The Republican, Mark Lester, 25% of the vote from the Democratic side. State Senate, Tim Melson, 66% of the vote versus Mike Curtis, 34% of the vote. We're looking at Larry Stutz, 50% of the vote versus Roger Bedford, also 50% of the vote. Now, this one's been pretty close, but has not been updated in a while either. 15 of 95 precincts reported, but Larry Stutz, 2,210 votes versus Roger Bedford, 2,208 votes. That one's remaining pretty close. They probably need to get that updated some more. Tommy, have you got another update there?
Again, we're still looking at 39% of the boxes reporting in, or 75% within Cullman County. The state senator race, District 4.
Looking around, it's almost going to become standing room only pretty soon.
They're beginning to file in. In fact, I've they seen Revenue Commissioner Barry Willingham walk in the door. I spoke with him momentarily, and I spoke with our new sheriff, Matt Gentry. Sheriff Gentry is going to come join us here momentarily. You shake hands and do your visiting and thank the folks that worked hard for you, and I'd like to talk with you a little bit, too. But in the District 4 state senator race, Paul
Bussman. I want to shake your hand. I appreciate it very much.
Paul Bussman still maintaining 80% margin of vote in the race for State Senate District 4. For the race for Cullman County Coroner, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 7,921 to Gary Murphy, 5,061. That's a 61 to 39% advantage for Jeremy Kilpatrick. And in the race for Cullman County Board of Education, the Vinemont District, District Number 6, Mike Graves, 704 votes to Randy Hassenbein, 642 votes, a 52% to 48% margin there for Mike Graves. And something that just hit me a moment ago as I'm reading through looking for numbers, I've kind of prided myself over the year, not really being a professional, but prided myself and never going, but you get to doing something like this, and this is my first time in live election results coverage from the courthouses are coming in handed to you. And I've caught myself doing that, so my apologies to you at home, because that's something that I really don't like to try to do, but it just kind of happens.
I have to admit, I went to broadcast school in college. Now, I was in a very, very bad, dire situation. Mm-hmm. I was not a good academic student. I had to get off academic probation. I had a little previous radio experience. Yep. By golly, I did a broadcast for a whole semester, and I got an A in that class.
Yeah. In Cullman County for Amendment Number 1, Cullman County is voting yes right at 58% of the time. So,
and I'll jump into that. Amendment 1 statewide, 73% voting yes and 27% voting no.
Well, this correct, yeah, and in the there's
Tommy's giving you Cullman numbers. I'm giving you state numbers.
Correct. And there was one amendment on the ballot that just applied to Cullman County, and that amendment there, 6,418 yes, 4,612 votes no for the local Cullman County Amendment Number 1, which was proposing a amendment to the Cullman County Constitution.
I didn't remember that either.
and the print's so small, but basically it's going to pass, it looks like, two yes votes, about 62% to 48%.
Proposed local amendment number 1. That's what we're discussing, right?
Correct.
I think I can handle this. Relating to Cullman County, proposing an amendment of the Constitution of Alabama of 1981 to phase out the supernumerary system to certain public officials and allow elected or appointed county officials, including the sheriff, to participate in the employee's retirement system. I'm glad we're supporting that.
I remember
that's
that
probably a good thing
from reading it this morning. And so far, Cullman County is supporting that, 6,418 votes.
If anything, these guys have earned the right to participate in the retirement system.
Completely.
So, state amendments, you had those results, I guess?
Just the results of how Cullman County was trending on the statewide.
Yep. So, for one, what was Cullman County on one?
75%.
Yep, and statewide 73% with 19% reporting. And just give you the numbers on that, 466 of 2,469 precincts reporting. So Cullman County is very reflective of the state at that level.
And on amendment number 2, proposed amendment number 2, Cullman County voted no 56% of the time.
Statewide, we're looking at no 51% of the time versus 49% yes, again with 19% of the vote there.
On statewide proposed amendment number 3, Cullman County voted yes 81%
not surprising. Statewide, 70%. And this one, somehow more precincts reporting, 1,073 of 2,469. That is 43% of the precincts reporting on number three.
And statewide proposed amendment number four, Coleman County voted yes 54% of the time.
Statewide, it was 58% of the time and 19% of the vote in on that one.
And on proposed amendment number five, Coleman County said 84% yes.
80% yes statewide. So pretty close.
Again, we're waiting on another update of numbers from Coleman County. The boxes coming in have trickled down very slowly, and most of the boxes, I feel, will be in.
What is the count on what you've got there?
We're at 75% here, so I feel like the boxes that are in the back now being counted are the final boxes that will be coming in.
Switching gears a little bit back to the nation as a whole, this is really where my attention is focused. I'm curious to see if we're going to be in, you know, utter deadlock again for another 2 years, or we might actually get something done. Right now, the Republicans have five seats over the senators. Let me rephrase that. The Republicans have five seats over the Democrats in the U.S. Senate. There are 47 seats cast currently for the Republicans, 42 cast for the Democrats in the U.S. Senate, and 89% of the seats have been determined. They're determined by who shall remain to be nameless. U.S. House, 94% Democratic, 160 seats on the Republican side. Lots more room here for growth or change, but, you know, of course, the Republicans not expected to lose the majority there in the House, and we are at 59% of the seats counted there. So one more time in the Senate, 47% Republican, 42%. These are not percents. These are seats. 47%. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to take a breath. 47 seats in the Senate for the Republicans, 42 seats in the Senate for the Democrats, with 89% of the seats determined. And from the House of Representatives, 160 seats for the Republicans, 94 seats for the Democrats, 59% of the seats determined there.
And breaking right now at Stonebridge Farms, James Fields is conceding the lieutenant governor's race to Kay Ivey. So far, statewide, with 75% of the vote reporting in, Kay Ivey is carrying 63% of that vote. And James Fields, as we speak, is conceding and thanking his supporters out at Stonebridge Farms here in Coleman. Also, an interesting race coming in from Jefferson County. This race has been going back and forth. Now, with 67% of the boxes in Jefferson County, Mike Hale is trailing by 6% of that vote there. So, longtime sheriff in Jefferson County, Mike Hale, trailing at this point with 67% of those precincts reporting in. And we still have a...
Yeah, we're getting a report. They're having to count some things by hand.
Yeah, kind of a slow process.
I guess I'm speaking too loud. Everyone's looking at me.
Of absentee ballots being voted. There were a lot of write-in votes cast today in the general election. A little different than a primary election. A primary election, basically, you're going to be selecting from who's on the ballot. In a general election, you are free to write in anyone that you'd like to. Myself, Jay Fuller, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse. And those votes have to be counted. They have to be documented who they are. So that will slow down the process of counting votes in a general election. And that's kind of what we've seen here. And then the absentee ballots that are being counted, too. As the gentleman was mentioning, those have been folded and folded and mailed and unfolded again, so they're kind of tough to read, some of those. So
I don't guess they really gave us an ETA for when those would be available, did they?
No, sir.
But that's what we're waiting on now, I guess. Going back to the statewide view of things, 54% of the vote counted. This is current as of 9:15. What time is it now, Tommy?
9:21.
So not too old. 58% of the vote for Robert Bentley, 42%. Parker Griffith, Attorney General, we're looking at 52% of the vote for Luther Strange, 48% of the vote for Joe Hubbard.
And Secretary of State, I don't know if you mentioned Secretary of State, Jay, with 23% of the boxes in, John Merrill, 58%, and Lula Kegler with 42%.
I had been covering those, but somehow that page went away on my display here.
So those are the current statewide races. The county numbers are being updated as we speak, and we're thinking the next update from Coleman County will be close to 100% of the boxes reporting in, as we're setting at 75% now. And the last update came to us just about 11 minutes ago.
Yep. Tommy, you lost the bet. It's 9:22 and we're still here. You thought we would be in and out of here pretty quick with nobody running against the Republicans. But yet here we are. It's 9:22. Let's take another quick break, regroup. And hopefully we won't have to recount any of the votes. And we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to election coverage right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or online at www.mortonbuildings.com.
Scissor Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors. AK Rentals has been serving Coleman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday 7 to 5 and Saturday till noon, 734-0038, 734-0038.
So, Sylvie, what's on your mind this week?
You mean Ebola, ISIS, immigration, separation of church and state in Houston? Shall I continue?
Yeah, you left out the Alabama Speaker of the House was just indicted on 23 felony corruption charges. You know, just another day at the office for them. And then there was that crazy stock market riot a week or so ago. I guess we're going to blame that on Ebola, right?
Well, the media certainly is.
Hey, these are some of the topics we're going to bring to your attention on our new program, This Week Live, which will be debuting just before Americans go to the polls on November the 4th.
Perhaps for the last time ever.
Oh, please.
We'll cover all of Obama's faults, one at a time, like Obamacare, broken hard drives, IRS scandals, Fifth Amendments, Fast and Furious.
You know, Obama's just the president. He's not the entire government. I don't know why you people always want to blame everything on the president.
It's Bush's fault.
There's other people involved working in the government, too, shall I say, Lois Lerner?
We'll get to all of those people, too, on This Week Live, and we'll start the discussion at 4 p.m. on November 3rd.
We'll cover all of this and more from the city of Coleman to Coleman County in the state of Alabama. And yes, what you should be aware of from the feds as well. So join us November the 3rd at 4 p.m. when we launch This Week Live right here on Coleman's Independent Radio. We are Live 95.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
Welcome back to Election Night Live on Coleman's Live 95. Tommy Warhurst from the third floor of the Coleman County Courthouse in the main courtroom where the election results are coming in. We're at 51% of the precincts reporting in, and I'm joined by Coleman County Revenue Commissioner Barry Willingham, a personal friend for one, and a great Revenue Commissioner for Coleman County. Barry, first of all, congratulations on running unopposed.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Little less stress involved.
A lot less stress.
In the
whole lot different than 5 years ago.
Yeah. In the Office of Revenue Commissioner, we've seen some good positive changes, making it easier for folks to obtain their car tags online or through an app or things like that. Talk a little bit about those processes.
Well, we focus strictly on customer service. That's what I tell my people. We're in the customer service business. At the end of the day, we do sell car tags, do property taxes, but by and far, we're in the customer service business. So that was always just been my model to go by.
And I've got to say hats off to that, too, because I came in Friday afternoon, October the 31st, to renew a car tag, you know, with the W as a last name, and I knew I was running behind, and I probably wasn't in line 5 minutes. There were folks saying, you know, can we help you here? Can we help you? So your effort for customer service is paying off for sure.
And that's a big, I guess, kudos to my employees. We've cross-trained a lot of the other staff members in the office, and we put in a little system, queuing system for the clerks to call the next customer, so it speeds up the process tremendously.
I guess in the aspect of the public, as far as citizens of Coleman County, are there things that we can do to make your job or your employees' jobs easier, whether it be revenue regarding the homes or the cars or so forth? What can we do to make your jobs better?
Well, the renewals we send out, you know, each month is very helpful. Makes it a lot faster. We actually put a barcode on that renewal, so each one of my clerks has a scanner. They can scan those tag renewals in very quickly and get to the that process a lot faster instead of having to go through and look up and, you know, well, yeah, I do have a Ford Ranger, but that was a red when I sold the white one. You know, because we have records all the way back to 96, so we have to filter through that a lot of times. We tell people we have the information in our system about 95% of the time dealing with insurance. But if you're a person that's changed insurance within the last 12 months prior to your last renewal, we have your old policy information. So when you come to the counter and you say, well, I thought you could look it up, we're not able to look up your insurance information. The only thing we're able to do is take your information you provide to us, and it goes to that insurance company's website and then verifies if it's valid or not.
Right.
So, you know, I tell people that yes, we do have the information, but we cannot look it up. And if you're one that shops around and gets insurance from, you know, reputable companies, you know, you might want to keep that card with you at all times.
Well, that intuitive, it's very simple for the public that doesn't know. If you've lost your insurance ID card, it's very simple. You can call your agent. They can print you a card. They can email you one. You could even go online and print those yourself. That is relatively simple to do, mm-hmm. And if that speeds up the process, and that's something that we need to do as citizens anyway, because you all work hard to give us the best possible service that you can and do
right.
A job, and we can do our part as well.
And that's our main job. I mean, we're here to serve.
On another note, I know this is a celebration night for you as Revenue Commissioner, but it's also kind of a celebration for the folks at West Point getting to the first round of the state playoffs and having just a fantastic season. And I know as someone who lives out around West Point and goes to those football games, you got to be proud of the Warriors.
I knew our Friday night play-by-play host had to work sports in there somehow.
Well, that's the community I was born and raised in, that area, and that's my alma mater. So I always love supporting West Point football, and I'm, you know, members of the quarterback club, and we worked real hard to clean the stadium up this summer, pressure washing everything we could, and, you know, trying to repair everything. We put up new fencing around the football. You know, a lot of the folks with the quarterback club and the coach Farley really put a lot of time in. The players did too. We redid the fencing at the top. We painted all the poles. So put in a lot of time, and that pays off, I think, in the long run, because your players see pride in the stadium. They see that the, you know, your fans and the families are really putting a lot of time and effort into it also.
And this was a big year for West Point football in that it celebrated 50 years mm-hmm. from the very first football team in 1964. And I think the night we were there, the night against St. John Paul II, when the new scoreboard was unveiled too.
Right.
So that's something to be proud of.
And that's a, you know, tribute to the sponsorships that we have. That a lot of, we had several that stepped up and contributed and signed on a contract to help out for, I think it was 4 years, maybe. So, I mean, that's, that just tells you what the people in that community really have a lot of pride in the school.
Yeah. Well, Barry, thank you for coming down to visit with us. Thank you for the job that you do as revenue commissioner.
Thank you for having
me. I would probably get fined the next Monday night if I didn't mention that Barry and I are both members of the Coleman Lions Club. We kind of have a running joke in the Lions Club that if you're in the newspaper and you don't mention the Lions Club, mm-hmm. or maybe you're on the radio and you don't mention the Lions Club, you're going to get fined on Monday. So we're covered.
Maybe we could afford it, but I may not. Now that basketball season started up, I may not be making many of the Monday night meetings anyway.
Yeah. Well, again, congratulations and thank you for a job that you
thank
do for
you
us
for
in
having
Coleman
me.
County.
I thank the people of Coleman County to entrust me in such a position.
Barry Willingham, Coleman County Revenue Commissioner, visiting with us. We're still waiting on more election results to come in. We're at 39% of 51 of the boxes reporting in, but I think statewide we may have some more numbers.
We do, and Tommy, I want to update everybody on kind of what's happening here. They have reported that basically they're counting what the absentee or the write-ins, and they're having a hard time because a lot of those are manual processes. Obviously, the computer can't scan those, and they're having to tally those, and that's basically what's holding us up now, right?
So, in other words,
something along those lines.
I'm really losing
just in case Mark
the leftovers are going to be cold.
Got to look at it that way. It's not hurting my feelings that I'm not home right now, glued to CNN or Fox News or whoever. But you know, they are covering this stuff pretty much nonstop. And as of right now, it looks like the U.S. Senate, we have 89% of the seats in. And it is 47 seats going to the Republicans and 42 seats going to the Democrats. So still a very close race there, but the Republicans, as of right now, are ahead. And from the Democratic House side of things, the Republicans pretty much already called that going to remain the majority in the House. 171 seats are the Republican held, and 98 seats currently are Democratic held, and that is with 62% of the seats being determined on the House. So let me repeat that one more time. The Senate, still a very close race right now. Republicans hold 47 seats. Democrats hold 43 seats. That's with 90% of the seats counted. The House of Representatives, 171 seats for the Republicans, 98 seats for the Democrats, 62% of the seats there, but pretty much have already determined the Republicans will continue to have a majority in the House.
And running down the local numbers again, as of the last report that we received, which was with 75% of the votes reporting in, State Senator District Race 4, District Number 4, Paul Bussman, 10,267 votes. Doc Mancuso, 2,736 votes. Countywide, Coleman County cast 8,292 votes for Kay Ivey and 4,826 votes for James Fields. In the race for Coleman County Coroner, with 38% of the 38 to the 51 precincts reporting in, 75%. Jeremy Kilpatrick, 7,921 votes. Gary Murphy, 5,061 votes. In the Coleman County Board of Education, District Number 6, Mike Graves, 704 votes. Randy Hassenbein, 642. That is with 40% of those precincts reporting in. And Local Amendment Number 1, allowing the county sheriff in Coleman County and other officials to take part in the state retirement plan, that so far is carrying yes by 6,418 votes to 4,612 no votes, a 58 to 42% advantage for the yes votes for local amendment number 1.
Well, if I can untangle my wires here, I do have some state updates for you as well. We now are at 66% of the vote counted statewide. That's 1,630 of 2,469 precincts reporting. 61% of the vote going to Robert Bentley, our current existing governor. Tommy and I have been joking about 30 seconds after the polls closed, they caught that.
They were quick. And in fact, I think the AP was looking to see that may be the quickest any race has ever been called by the Associated Press.
Could very well be. 39% of the vote going to Parker Griffith. Just a few minutes ago, James Fields, local guy, of course, conceding to Kay Ivey. Kay got 60% of the vote. James Fields, 40% of the vote. That is now with 53%, so that's over the 50% mark. That's 1,317 of 2,469 precincts reporting. Attorney General at 54%. Luther Strange, the Republican incumbent, 54%. Joe Hubbard, The Democratic contender, 46%. Secretary of State, this one not at 50% yet, 33%. 826 of 2,469 precincts reporting. John Merrill at 61%, the Republican. And Lula Albert Kiger at 39%, the Democratic contender. Auditor General, 29% of the precincts reporting. Jim Ziegler, 63%. Miranda Joseph at 37%. Agricultural Commissioner, John McMillan at 64%. Doug Smith at 36%. And 27% of those coming in. Some other races around the state. Bradley Byrne, the incumbent Republican in the Mobile area, District 1 of the U.S. House. He is very close to being called. As a matter of fact, I believe he has been called. 66%. Voted for Bradley Byrne, 34%. Burton LaFleur, and that's with 49% of the precincts reporting. They have called that race for Bradley Byrne. District 2, this is around Montgomery. Martha Robbie, 64%, the Republican contender, the incumbent. Elric Wright, 36%, the Democratic candidate there. 78% of the precincts reporting there, of course. Martha Robbie being called for that race. Mike Rogers, this is the Auburn area, or East Central. 63% for the Republican side of things. Mike Rogers, the incumbent, and he has been declared the victor there. Jesse Smith, 37% from the Democratic side of things. 74% of the precincts reporting there. Going north a little bit, U.S. House of Representatives, District 5, this is up around Huntsville. Mo Brooks being declared the victor. 63% of precincts reporting. 75% of the vote going to Mo Brooks. Mark Bray, the Democratic, or actually independent contender there. 25% of the vote there. Going south a little bit, we have District 6, Birmingham. Gary Palmer, 76%, the Republican contender. Mark Lester, 24%, Democratic side of things. And looking at other various races, I'm going to skip over most of these. See if I can come down here to these amendments. State Amendment number 1, the foreign laws ballot issue, probably going to be yes on that one. 73% of the vote versus 27% on no. State Amendment number 2, the trust fund issue, that one very, very close. 50-50 with 27% of the vote precincts reporting. Let me read you the vote counts on these. 102,312 on yes, 101,582 on no. State Amendment 3, this is the right to bear arms issue. 52% of the precincts reporting here, so this one's been called. It's going to be yes at 71% of the vote, no at 29% of the vote. Only 26% in for State Amendment 4. This is the expenditure increase. 58% on yes, 42% on no. And finally, last but not least, the right to hunt. Tommy, there was absolutely no discussion on this one pretty much in the state. 81% yes, 19% no. Only 26% in, but that one's been called for yes.
And we're joined now by Coleman County Coroner Steve Rogers, and the latest update on the coroner's race now, Jeremy Kilpatrick with 61% of the vote for Coleman County Coroner. But the current coroner is with us now, Steve Rogers. And first of all, Mr. Coroner, thanks for taking time to come by and visit with us.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to say it's been an honor to serve Coleman County as their coroner. We had two good men running, and I just trust that Jeremy will do a good job for the county. I feel like he will. And I just want to come by and congratulate him. Yeah. But I wish both of the men that was running for this office the very best in the future.
Well, for you, sir, you came in, you worked, and you served the county, and thank you for your service. And what's next for Steve Rogers? Retirement for a lot of different folks means a lot of different things. What's next for you?
Well, we have our business, and I'm going to take care of it, enjoy my grandchildren, and maybe do a little fishing and hunting that I've not been able to do as much of as I'd like to. I'm just going to slow down a little bit and just try to keep God is my top priority and my family second. And try to be successful in those areas.
Right.
I have to say, I know the feeling. Live 95 is business number what, 4 for me? I
think. Sure.
One day I'll slow down too.
Yeah.
But we thank you for all you do.
Yeah, Mr. Corder, thank you for what you do.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to thank the people of Coleman County for letting me serve them for 4 years.
You're very welcome, and enjoy the time away from the county public life.
Thank you.
Coleman County Coroner Steve Rogers, who will be retiring, and he'll be replaced by either Jeremy Kilpatrick or Gary Murphy. And at this point, Coleman County is voting 61% for Jeremy Kilpatrick, with 75% of the precincts reporting in.
I don't see as many sheriff's deputies lined up against the wall anymore, Tommy.
No, most of the boxes may be in, and I think the thing that we're looking at now is there were so many write-in votes, and each and every single one of those votes has to be counted, has to be documented, where in years past, Revenue Commissioner Barry Willingham was telling me some of the write-in votes they could just go over and look at the actual votes cast, but now they actually have to document, write down the name of every single write-in vote, so that is where we are, and probably the last 25% of precincts are being held up due to those write-in votes.
Do you think that could be a fun job?
No.
To write all of those write-in names down.
About as fun as counting all the hanging chads in the presidential election several years ago.
Oh, my goodness. We're approaching 9:45, and I'm trying to get an update now on how things look across the nation. Must contend my partner Tommy Warhurst over here, and him and I working together, I think we're doing a pretty good job trying to cover everything locally, statewide, and nationally.
For election coverage, it was thrown at you at about 5:15 this afternoon. So, hey, Jay, what do you think about doing this?
Well, you know, I signed up for this, and we did the whole Coleman Community Radio thing, so here we are.
Yeah.
So looking at the national picture, 90% of the seats determined, we are still pretty close. 47 of those seats in the Senate are going to remain Republican, or become Republican, I guess I should say. 43 of those are going to remain Democrat, and we still have 10% of those seats left to be determined. So as projected, that is going to be a very close race. The House, that one's pretty much over. It's already been called. The Republicans will continue to maintain a majority there. 180 seats at this point called for the Republicans, 105 called for the Democrats, but still only 66% of the seats counted there. We have a long way to go on that particular race.
Did you mention that Mike Hubbard has been reelected in his district down in Lee County, despite the indictments that are against him? So he has won reelection by a pretty good percentage.
You know, that kind of reminded me of them trying to indict Rick Perry over in Texas. You know, it's like, what? And I honestly have not read the details on that, but I just felt like as soon as I heard that, I thought, that's awfully convenient.
Especially what two weeks before Election Day. So
yeah.
And in the race for Attorney General, with 33% of the votes reporting in, Luther Strange has 55% of that vote to Joe Hubbard's 45%, and that gap starting to widen just a little bit.
Going back to statewide coverage, and this is quite a list, so bear with me. 70% of the precincts reporting, that is 1,738 of 2,469. We are 61% at Robert Bentley, 39% Parker Griffith. Of course, that race called about 5 seconds after the polls closed at 7 o'clock. Okay, we have another announcement coming now.
Make sure everybody's properly in. Now, she's not cooperating with much of your lives. I hope they got it pretty much ready. There's one box that's not here. The deputy's going out to see what's going on out there. And on your way. So all of the rest of pretty much is low wood fast now. So you'll be called by that. I think the relief looks like that one. So that is
It sounds like there's one box that they're missing in Coleman, and they're trying to run down that one box. That's part of the holdup, along with the
Wrong headset on, but yes, that's what I got out of that announcement.
And the absentee, but basically they're trying to run down one box that is.
I have a hunch that maybe one of the write-ins round up with it. Maybe Bart Simpson's out there with it, or somebody on a magic carpet ride somewhere.
You would kind of think, too, that they knew exactly which box that is, what precinct it came from, and who's responsible for it. We'll be ringing that person's phone off the hook.
Yep. Going back to our statewide coverage here, 70%. Oh, hang on.
Before we get back to that, I want to take an opportunity and congratulate Coleman County Sheriff Matt Gentry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming by.
Well, I appreciate it.
This is kind of like the celebration night. The primary was a hard fought primary, this is kind of like a celebration night.
It is. It's a lot more relaxed than it was July the 15th.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on being elected Coleman County Sheriff, and kind of give us an insight of your vision and your plan for Coleman County as it pertains to the office of sheriff.
Well, you know,
to begin with. I mean, you know, I've been very blessed. I was born and raised here, and this is my home. And I think as a sheriff, first off, you have to serve every citizen in Coleman County. I mean, you have to be a sheriff for all the county. But we're looking forward to moving forward and making a positive change for the citizens. We're already starting to meet and make a plan. So January 20th, when we take office, we have a plan in place, and we'll be moving forward on that plan. We have several areas, you know, like I know, made comments in my campaign that we're going to address. Drug enforcement's a huge one. Victims. I think victims are being overlooked right now in cases. You know, we're going to set up a very first victim service unit at the Coleman County Sheriff's Office. Never been done before. Sex offenders is an issue that we're going to address. Some accountability for sex offenders. But one of the, you know, the main points is being accessible to the public. I think we have to reestablish a community-oriented sheriff's office. I mean, if you live in a community, you own a business, and you don't know the deputies, then that's a problem. You know, and I really believe in community-oriented law enforcement.
I agree, because it's, you know, you serve the citizens of the county. The citizens of the county put a lot of these folks in the jobs you're in, and I agree,
right,
being accessible. Can you give some insight or some vision into, say, for example, the sex offender plan? Can you divulge information into that without giving away too much?
No, kind of, and like when we ran, you know, currently there's only one deputy that covers roughly 209 sex offenders by itself. That's virtually impossible for that deputy to cover that many and hold them accountable to being at the residence and being compliant with the law. So what we want to do is distribute that out to the deputies. So each deputy that works a district may have 3, 4, 5 guys that he checks on monthly or she checks on monthly. And by doing that, you reduce the amount of work on one person, so they're able to focus on obtaining warrants for the offenders that are not compliant. And it kind of helps the deputies know who's in their community as far as sex offenders and that kind of thing. So you kind of just alleviates a lot of the issues of maybe you have a guy that's convicted of sexual abuse of a child under 12, and they've been gone 9 months without law enforcement knowing it. That's a problem.
Right.
So this will alleviate those problems of not holding them accountable and not knowing where they're at.
Right. As citizens of Coleman County, if you could ask us for things that we can do to help you and your deputies, what would some of those things be?
I think just being in constant contact with deputies. I mean, and that's one of the things I want to tell deputies. Hey, when you see the farmer out, you know, on the tractor, hey, pull over and talk to him. Hey, I want you to know the store owners. I want you to know the people in the community, because they are able to provide you information. I'll give you an example. I was at one of the community centers throughout the campaign, and I was in there talking to these ladies. And these ladies said, you know, oh, so-and-so is breaking into houses down around Trimble. And I said, what? They said, oh, yeah, we've been, you know, we know old so-and-so is breaking into houses, stealing this and that. So I picked up the phone. I called one of the investigators at the sheriff's office. And guess what? They arrested those guys, the little ladies at the senior center.
Right.
They told me he was breaking into houses in their area. Well, heck, I would have never known that, you know, unless I was talking to them.
Right.
and they knew they could talk to me. I mean, and that's what it's really about.
Well, you know,
communication.
You go back to probably when I was a child and you were a child. That's kind of how things were in the county. Everybody knew folks knew what was going on,
right,
and citizens could help the officials do their job.
That's
and
right.
It's great to hear that we kind of want to return to that and
yeah.
be a little bit more in tune and in touch with the sheriff's office and
yes,
the citizens.
No. And it's important. I mean, it's important for us to be there for the citizens. You know, throughout the campaign, I would hear more, you know, people that maybe knew me. I never heard anybody say, man, I appreciate you getting that 40 pounds of meth. But they would say, hey, I appreciate you helping us on our burglary and getting our property back. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to our kids. You know, that's what's really important. I mean, you know, people want you to get big cases and drugs. But when you can really help people, that makes the difference in their life.
Right.
And that's when you look at the victims in our community. I mean, when you've been the victim of a burglary or a theft, that is a huge moment in your life where you're a victim. And you want somebody that cares and will help you throughout that case and knows that they want to help you. And that's what citizens really need. I mean, and that's what they expect.
Right.
So.
Yeah, okay, I thought you, sorry, Jad. I looked at you. I thought you had a comment.
listening, but you're, oh, you have me muted. Okay. No. I agree. Everything that you said, I've usually been a good citizen. I've only been the victim one time. And, you know, the situation was about 10 years ago. I had some identity theft stuff going on. The people who took care of me then, you know, did a pretty good job, but I totally understand what you're saying. They can always do a better job. And I really, you know, appreciate the fact that you want to, you know, have the deputies talk to the citizens and vice versa. That's a good thing. Tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll see if we can update everything, see what they're talking about up front. And we'll be back here in a minute on Live 95's election coverage.
Is your paycheck slipping away in insurance premiums? Let Alpha Insurance show you how to tackle savings with rewards and discounts for loyal customers. Save even more when you bundle your home, car, and life insurance with Alpha. Plus, you'll get friendly service from the hometown team right here in Coleman. That would be Cynthia Phillips, reachable at 256-734-1224, or stop by and pay her a visit behind Sonic Drive-In at 216 Compass Way Southwest. You can also send her an email, cphillips@alphains.com.
Got transmission troubles? Then you need Joe Coretti Auto Service, a locally owned and operated family business founded in 1976. Joe and Jason Coretti are your automatic transmission specialists. If you need transmission diagnostics, service, or repair, we can be reached at 256-739-2940. That's Joe Coretti Auto Service, your automatic transmission specialist, located on Golf Course Road, 256-739-2940.
Radio. We're broadcasting live from the third floor of the county courthouse. Hopefully about to wind it down tonight. I've got a couple more updates here from the national side of things. But before I do that, what are we missing? Two precincts here in Coleman?
We are. We have 49 of 51 boxes reporting in, and one or two of those are probably the one or two that they're trying to round up.
I am almost going to call that the end of the election cycle.
It is pretty tight.
It's pretty close.
We've got 96% of the precincts reporting in, and we'll run down the numbers on how Coleman County voted. If you look at straight party voting for Coleman County in this election, 1,238 votes were counted straight Democratic, and 6,757 votes were cast straight Republican votes. That's about an 85% margin for straight Republican voting for Coleman County. In the race for governor, Coleman County voted for Robert Bentley, 82%. In the race for lieutenant governor, Coleman County voted 12,103 votes for Kay Ivey, 7,482 votes for James Fields. In the race for state senator, district number 4, with 49 of 51 precincts reporting in, 96% of the vote, our senator Paul Bussman, 15,203 votes to Doc Mancuso, 4,209 votes. Senator Paul Bussman carried Coleman County by a 78% margin. In the race for Coleman County coroner, again with 96% of the precincts reporting in, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 11,477 votes to Gary Murphy, 7,901, a 60% vote tally for Jeremy Kilpatrick in Coleman County coroner. In Coleman County for the race for Secretary of State, 15,742 votes for John Merrill, 3,012 votes for Lula Kegler. That's an 84% carry for John Merrill in Coleman County. In the race for state auditor in Coleman County, 83% of the vote was cast for Jim Ziegler. For Commissioner of Agriculture and Industries, with 96% of the votes reporting in,
Clapping, Tommy. They may have found our missing boxes.
84% of the votes cast for John McMillan. For Public Service Commission, place number 1, actually that was Jeremy Oden, who was unopposed, who received 99% of that vote. For Coleman County coroner, we mentioned with 49 of 51 precincts in, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 11,477 to Gary Murphy, 7,901. That's a 60% to 40% margin for Jeremy Kilpatrick. In the race for Coleman County Board of Education, in place number 6, the only race that was that did have two opponents, with 4 of the 5 precincts reporting in 80% of that vote. It's still a tight race. Mike Graves, 951 votes. Randy Hassenbein, 873. A 52 to 47% lead now for Mike Graves. And local amendment number 1. This was the retirement amendment, as a lot of folks referred to it as here in Coleman County. The yes votes carried 9,733 to 6,715 no votes. Basically a 60% carry for victory for the yes in local amendment number 1, basically the retirement system vote. And those are the county rundowns from Coleman County, with 96% of the precincts reporting in, last report coming in right at 10 o'clock.
Tommy, switching gears a little bit to the national picture, a lot of us have been keeping an eye on this U.S. Senate race. A lot of the talking heads that you see on TV have been keeping a tight eye on this Senate race. 95% of the seats determined at this point. We're looking at, I hope that's not right, because I don't like what that looks like. 50 seats held currently by the Democrats and 45 seats held currently by the Republicans. That is for the U.S. Senate, with 95% of the seats determined. So continuing to be a very close race there, but this is the first time the Democrats have pulled ahead in the Senate tonight. U.S. House of Representatives, that one's pretty much already been called. The Republicans will continue to maintain a majority. We are looking at 187 seats for the Republicans and 110 seats for the Democrats in the House. Again, U.S. Senate currently 95% of the seats determined. 45 of those seats are Republican, 50 of those seats are the Senate. 5 more percent of seats to go. Looking at the statewide picture, the lieutenant governor, I skipped governor, but we already knew that one. Scrolling back up a little bit, 62% of the vote for Robert Bentley, 38% of the vote for Parker Griffith. That was with 72% of the precincts reporting. 69% of the precincts reporting for lieutenant governor is Kay Ivey at 61% of the vote. James Fields at 39% of the vote. Attorney General with 69% reporting. Luther Strange, 56% of the vote. Joe Hubbard, 44% of the vote. Alabama Secretary of State, John Merrill, at 62% of the vote. Lula Albert Kiger, 38% of the vote, and that is with 73% of the precincts reporting. Auditor General Jim Ziegler, 61% of the vote. Miranda Joseph, 39% of the vote. That is with 73% of the votes reporting. Some other races around the state. U.S. House, District 1, down in Mobile, where I went to college. That is Bradley Byrne, who is a Republican incumbent, 66% of the vote. Burton LaPlore, 34% of the vote. That is with 38% of the precincts reporting. Moving along to Montgomery, this is U.S. House District 2, Martha Roby at 64% of the vote, the Republican incumbent, versus Eric Wright, that's 36% of the vote. That's with 80% of the precincts reporting.
The last remaining box that we were missing here in Coleman County, as Dave mentioned a moment ago, came in a few moments ago, so we'll be getting the final results. Box 50 is now being printed. It should be handed to us shortly. And then box number 51 is actually the provisional ballots that have been cast in Coleman County. So we actually have all of our boxes in. We'll be getting a printout here of the final numbers from Coleman County for the votes cast today. And the box 51 is the provisional ballots. Thank you to Steve Singleton, who sent me a text and said, I think box 51 is the provisional ballots and box 50 is the one that's out there. So, Steve, thank you very much for keeping us in check and for your help tonight. And thanks for listening to all of you who are listening to election coverage tonight here on Live 95. Jay and I talked to Jay about 5:15 and said, what do you think about doing this? So we kind of put it together last minute. So we hope that you have enjoyed and been educated by the process tonight, and we thank you for listening.
That's correct. We hope that you found it educational. And one other thing that I must say is required by law right now, you're listening to Live 95. We are WRJMLP Coleman. Moving back to District 3, U.S. House. This is the Auburn area. Mike Rogers, who is the Republican incumbent, 64% of the vote. Jesse Smith, 36% of the vote. And that is with 82% of the vote reporting. Going north of the state, Huntsville, District 5, Mo Brooks, 75% of the vote. The Republican incumbent and competitor, Mark Bray, 25% of the vote. He is a Democrat. That is with 63% of the vote coming in. In District 6, this is around Birmingham, Gary Palmer, 77% of the vote. And competitor, Mark Lester, 23%. And that's with 66% of the vote coming in. You got another tally sheet over there, I see?
I do. We have all of our boxes reporting in from Coleman County. And here is how Coleman County voted in the general election today. Coleman County voted 85% straight Republican ticket. They voted 16,592 votes for Robert Bentley, 3,693 votes for Parker Griffin. In the lieutenant governor's race, Coleman County cast 12,533 votes for Kay Ivey, 7,729 votes for James Fields. In the race for attorney general, Coleman County cast 15,516 votes for Luther Strange and 4,500 votes for Joe Hubbard. In the race for state senator from district number 4, Paul Busman, 15,737 votes. Doc Mancuso, 4,344. In the race for Coleman County coroner, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 11,913 votes. Gary Murphy, 8,139. That's a 60% to 40% margin for Jeremy Kilpatrick. In the race for Secretary of State in Coleman County cast 16,302 votes for John Merrill and 3,093 votes for Lula Kegler. In the race for State Auditor, Coleman County voted 16,167 votes for Jim Ziegler and 3,299 votes for Miranda Joseph. For Commissioner of Agriculture and Industries, John McMillan, 16,423 votes to Doug Smith's 3,018 votes. And once again, the race for Coleman County Coroner, Jeremy Kilpatrick, 11,913 votes. Gary Murphy, 8,139. In the race for Coleman County Board of Education, District Number 6, that's the Vinemont District, Mike Graves, 951 votes. Randy Hassenbein, 873. That's a 52% to 47% margin for My Graves. For local amendment number one, this was the retirement amendment allowing the sheriff and other members of the county government to take part in the state retirement plan. The yes votes, 10,062. The no votes, 6,951. That's a 60% to a 40% margin. And on the statewide amendments, we'll just tell you how Cullman County voted in case you're interested.
Well, I'll throw in the state numbers too. Go ahead.
In the statewide election for the statewide proposed amendments, for amendment number one, Cullman County voted yes, 75%.
And statewide, 72% of the precincts reporting, yes is 72%.
In Cullman County, for statewide proposed amendment number two, Cullman County voted no, 54%.
And this is the trust fund ballot issue. This one's tied on the state level, Tommy, right now. 70%, that is 1,729 of 2,469 precincts reporting. These are some very close numbers. Statewide, no, 309,840. Yes, 308,932.
And for statewide amendment number three, Cullman County voted yes 81% of the time.
And statewide, 72% of the time, with 73% of the precincts reporting. No, of course, 28 there.
And on amendment number four, Cullman County voted yes 54%.
And 55% statewide, with 66% reporting.
And proposed amendment number five, Cullman County voted yes, 84%.
And the state of Alabama trailing behind just a little bit, voting yes, 78%. And Tommy, I think we're going to wrap it up with one more report, and I'm pleased to announce on a national level, the Republicans have pulled ahead once again in the U.S. Senate, looking at 50 seats for Republicans, 45 seats for the Democrats. That's with 96% of the seats determined. And U.S. House of Representatives, Republicans will maintain a majority there at 197 seats. Democrats currently at 112 seats with 72% of the seats counted. I think that's going to do it for us. Keep an eye on the election returns. Thanks for listening to Live 95 and our election coverage. And for Tommy Warhurst, I'm Jay Fuller. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for voting. Thanks for doing your American duty.
We are Coleman's all-new radio station, Live 95. We'll be right back.